Good afternoon. This is Ed Walsh with the Piatt County Journal Republican, dated Wednesday, March 14th, 2018. We will begin today's reading with this article. It's under the banner of 4-H, and the headline reads, Cerro Gordo Team Wins Food Challenge. It was a race to the finish in kitchens in the 4-H Food Challenge hosted February 22nd at Monticello High School. Four teams from Monticello, Clinton, and Cerro Gordo High Schools went head-to-head in a cooking competition that challenged their newly learned cooking and nutrition skills and encouraged teamwork. Each team of 3 to 5 high school students had 40 minutes to create a dish using a pantry of grocery items, and 4 required mystery ingredients, which were announced at the beginning of the contest. The 4 ingredients were canned tomatoes, crackers, ground beef, and sour cream. The Red Hot Chili Peppers team from Cerro Gordo High School took first place with a Tex-Mex omelet. The team included Vanessa Gower, Kimberly Fiken, and Desiree Ashenfelter. My favorite part is seeing each team's final creation. Everything is so different and unique, even though they started with the same ingredients, said 4-H youth development educator Jamie Boas. Youth not only learn how to cook, but learn teamwork to be confident in their skills and how to present information to judges. The teams practiced for the competition in the month leading up to the contest as part of their foods or family and consumer science classes to strengthen their food nutrition and preparation skills. After preparing their dish, each team gave a short presentation to a panel of judges and answered questions about their food. The final score reflected the team's nutrition knowledge, food preparation skills, food safety skills, and serving size knowledge, as well as the food's appearance, quality, and presentation. Funds for 4-H Food Challenge were made possible by the Illinois 4-H Foundation from the sales of the Favorite Recipes of Illinois 4-H Through the Years cookbooks. The 4-H program is provided through the University of Illinois Extension and is open to youth ages 8 to 18. Youth learn skills for living by participating in individual or group learning experiences related to more than 200 project areas. More information about Extension and 4-H is available at go.illinois.edu. Our next article from the front page is headlined, Fair Dollars Desired. Illinois legislators and county fair officials gathered at the State House in Springfield on March the 8th to showcase the positive economic benefit county fairs bring to the state and to urge Governor Bruce Rauner to release $1.4 million in funding that was appropriated as part of the fiscal year 2018 budget, which was approved last year. The Illinois Association of Agricultural Fairs lists Piatt County as one of the impacted fairs that has yet to receive funding, but a local fair spokesman does not anticipate cutbacks at this summer's fair, June 14th through the 17th, in Cerro Gordo, even if funding does not arrive. No, we wouldn't make cutbacks, said fair board member Carol Cousart. We've already cut back to as bare bones as we can or think we should. Doing without may mean more fundraising than we currently do. We already have a reverse raffle, go-kart track, and winter storage for campers and boats. We also ask for sponsorships from organizations. We may have to be more creative if funding fails. The Illinois Association of Agricultural Fairs highlighted the results of a University of Illinois Extension Department of Community and Economic Development study, which claimed that county fairs bring $170 million annually to the state's economy and support 1,000 non-fair related jobs. Local county fairs provide both measurable economic benefits and immeasurable community benefits to central and southern Illinois communities, said State Senator Dave Kohler, a Democrat of Peoria. I urge the governor and his administration to do the right thing and release this funding, which will help downstate communities that have struggled in the recent past, said State Senator Dave Kohler of Peoria. The economic study results show $170 million is spent in the state annually as a result of county fairs, with $90 million being spent within the actual fair grounds and the other $80 million in ancillary sales in local communities. The money spent within the fairgrounds, including gate fees, event tickets, food, carnival passes, and entertainment, is only one of seven categories studied to determine the economic impact of the fair, according to the study. The other six ancillary categories focused on money spent in the local communities outside of the fairgrounds and included outside purchases of food, restaurants, diners, etc., transportation, fuel, rental cars, convenience stores, retail, grocery, merchandise, hardware, lodging, hotels and campgrounds, and commercial services, laundry, mechanics, and health care. 2 years ago, Piatt County reduced its fair from six to 4 days, partially because of a lack of state funding. The Fair Queen pageant, one of the higher cost events, was replaced with a Celebrate Youth offering that included adorable baby and terrific toddler displays. Cousert said the fair board worked diligently over a 9-year period to erase a $150,000 deficit and became debt-free in 2012 and does not want to get into that poor position again. Having their budgeted funds from the state would help. We will still carry on in 2008, even since we have learned not to expect money from the state, but it sure does help us out when we do get it, she said. Our next article on the front page is under the banner of Monticello Schools, and the headline reads, A Disney-themed fundraiser for preschooler. The Monticello Elementary School community came together for a Disney Day fundraiser on March 7th. Staff and students wishing to take part paid $1 each to wear Mickey ears and or Disney-style clothing, with proceeds going to the family of 4-year-old Lincoln Elementary School Small Wonders student Liam Walden, who was diagnosed in December with CLN2 disease. By the end of the week, $2,100 had been raised, including $1,200 at Lincoln Elementary alone, and the total is expected to climb as additional donations come in. It's a very rare genetic disorder, and we noticed it first with speech delay. And this past summer, he started having seizures, and when the seizures weren't controlled, we kept visiting more and more doctors and ended up getting the diagnosis through a blood test, said Liam's mom, Katie Walden of Monticello. CLN2, a form of Batten disease, is an autosomal recessive disorder associated with the buildup of materials inside of brain cells instead of those materials being broken down normally. When cells do not function properly, it leads to language development delays, seizures, and visual impairment. The disease is usually diagnosed between the ages of 2 and 4 years old. Liam is taking part in a new treatment that requires the family to travel to Chicago every other week. He also had surgery last month to implant a reservoir, a catheter system installed under the scalp that can be used for the aspiration of cerebrospinal fluid, or for the delivery of drugs. It's not a cure, but a treatment that will slow the progression of this neurological disease, said Mrs. Walden. She also appreciates the support the family has received since Liam's diagnosis late last year. We have a lot of support, she added. We've seen a lot of community and family and friends and neighbors and strangers come out and support us. Finally, from the front page, we have this article under the banner of Piatt County, and the headline reads, Courthouse Access Discussed, Elevator Project to Start. With the rehab of the Piatt County Courthouse's 60-year-old elevator set to begin later this month, the Piatt County Building and Grounds Committee discussed on March 7th how to handle disruptions that an out-of-commission lift will cause. That includes providing accessible restrooms, since there are no bathrooms on the ground floor of the building. The elevator, the only one in the building, serves the basement, 3 stories, and attic of the courthouse. We know we have to have an election March 20th, and we did not want to start then, so we will be starting March 26th. The contract says it will be down 6 to 8 weeks. I don't think it's going to take that long, but that's what they stated in their contract, said Piatt County Maintenance Supervisor Scott Stevenson. Now that there is a firm start date, County Board Chairman Randy Keith told Stevenson to touch base again with judges so they know when the elevator will not be usable. Jamie Munn in the judge's office said they may move to the second floor courtroom just to prevent people from having to climb as many stairs, said Stevenson. The main courtroom is on the third floor, but there is a smaller one a flight below. Without a restroom on the ground floor, the committee discussed options on the best way to provide an accessible bathroom. I would say we will have to provide something, said Stevenson, noting the only public bathrooms are in the basement and third story. Portable bathrooms may be the only option and would be placed somewhere outside of the courthouse. Sheriff David Hunt said he would research the possibility of restroom trailers, which can be roomier and blend in more with surroundings. And this is under the heading of Energy Savings, a grant program that has funded light bulb and fixture replacements throughout the county. Is not as attractive as it once was, but it could still help fund work aimed at using more energy-efficient LED light bulbs. Swapping out fluorescent fixtures with LED ones would cost about $6,000 in the courthouse, with about half the cost offset by grants from Ameren. It involves not only switching out bulbs, but decreasing the number of bulbs needed per fixture from 4 to 2 due to a reflector. Ballasts would also be removed, saving future repair costs. For the public safety building, jail, the cost would be $7,800 to replace the bulbs, but since fixtures will go only from 3 to 2 bulbs, grants would only reimburse about $1,500. We're not going to get near as much grant money as we have in the past, said Stevenson. Ameren's not paying out near what the DCEO, Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, was. He said the state transferred authority on the grants back to Ameren and that there now is not as many dollars available through the light bulb program. In 2012, the county received about $14,000 in DCEO grants to retrofit 197 fixtures at the Piatt County Office Building and another 43 at the jail building. There are instant grants for the replacing of light bulbs with more energy-efficient models. When complete, the switch would save 22,000 watts of electricity usage at the courthouse and 15,000 watts at the jail per year. Even with the rapid payback, estimated at around 4 months, the project does not yet have a green light. The savings is there. We just have to come up with the money to pay for it, said Keith, noting this year's county budget is tighter than in the past. The idea of swapping in LEDs as fluorescent bulbs burn out was also discussed as a way to spread out costs for the work, which would be done by county maintenance staff. Also at the committee meeting, Piatt County Mental Health Director Tony Kirkman said renovations at the MHC building are nearly complete and include fresh paint and adding a second handrail in the hallways and new flooring for some areas. He also pointed out the freezing and thawing has worsened the condition of the facility's parking lot. A broken pipe caused some damage at the Piatt County office building during the large rains 3 weeks ago. It was also thought the sump pumps may have faltered, but maintenance personnel reported they are operating correctly. An alarm that will alert personnel when pumps experience a problem was suggested. Our next article is on page A2. It's under the banner of Mental Health Center, and the headline reads, Mental Health Center and Church Combine on Artwork Project. Amy McDermott was able to get back to her artistic roots recently when she led participants of the Piatt County Mental Health Center's Developmental Disabilities Program through a day-long art seminar. It resulted in 29 pieces of art that will be on display this Sunday, March 18th, at the Monticello Christian Church. McDermott, the center's developmental services director, received her art therapy degree from Millikan University and at one time used the skill in one-on-one interactions during direct care sessions. As promotions came her way, the artwork diminished, so she enjoyed a blast from the past as she led participants on the project that led to acrylic-on-canvas paintings. It was fun. It was a lot of fun, said McDermott. It was nice that MHC Director Tony Kirkman got all of this arranged, because it gave me an opportunity to get away from the paperwork a little bit and get back into that. It also gave the church, which last fall changed its name from First Christian Church to Monticello Christian, in order to show a community-centric focus, a way to fulfill renewed outreach efforts by hosting the Reach Piatt Art Show. The name comes from a hashtag, hashtag Reach Piatt, the church has adopted as a reminder to reach beyond its church's walls. Our desire is to reach our community with God's love and be supportive in Piatt County, said Pastor Jerry Dusenberry, whose congregation donated art supplies to the mental health center over the holidays. So when Kirkman came to him with the idea of a public art show, Dusenberry was all in. It's a way to showcase their work and support a local organization, and it might allow more people to see their work, he said. The pieces are acrylic paint on 6x6-inch canvases and will be on display in the church coffee bar area between the 9 a.m. service, before the 9 a.m. service, between the early and 10:30 a.m. service, and for a brief time following the second service. It's a great opportunity for individuals to showcase their talents and continue to raise awareness about all of the wonderful people we have here. We received this wonderful gift of the canvases and paint, and with Amy's extensive art background, I just said, here's the project, get to it, joked Kirkman. McDermott said art therapy is a combination of art and psychology. The idea is that people that can't necessarily verbally communicate can express their feelings through art, she added. You really do learn a lot from a person through it. It's a way for them to express. Kirkman said he has had an art show in mind since he arrived at the PCMHC in 2015 and is happy to have a partner in the Christian church. Pastor Jerry is really trying to spur the mission of the church to reach Piatt, said Kirkman. But we just don't want to be open-handed and say, give, 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 give. Instead, let us encourage your congregation by showing the fruit of your generosity. He sees at least some of the canvases returning to the mental health center to help decorate the newly painted hallways and to remind our staff, this is who we serve. Also on page A2 under the banner of City of Monticello, we have this article headlined, Single Hauler Garbage System Discussed by Monticello City Council. The idea of contracting garbage pickup with a single waste hauling company is back on the table in Monticello. The option was considered during an ordinance rewrite in 2015, but the city eventually created a structure that currently allows three companies to compete for local business. City licenses for the trio of haulers are up for renewal at the end of March, so aldermen have been discussing possible changes, most notably ensuring there is a lower cost option for those who generate smaller amounts of garbage. City Administrator Terry Summers said the best way to stipulate terms and fees with a firm would be to contract with one company. What about entertaining the idea of a request for proposal/bid where we mandate what we desire and one hauler? Is there any interest in that? He said. The interest was initially lukewarm at Monday's city council meeting, but as discussion continued, the council eventually felt it was worth pursuing. I think we solve a plethora of problems with one hauler, commented Alderman Cochran Keating. That could include less heavy truck traffic on city roads. Every hauler has to pick up every street if they have a customer there, and it's more wear and tear, said Monticello Public Works Director Jim Gresbarsik. I'm a fan of single hauler. It's what I grew up. It's what I studied in college. The benefit is we control what they have to do, he added. But he noted it is not an easy sell. The former city council approved a single hauler system last year, but some of the residents who packed council meetings said they did not want to be limited to one choice despite a lower monthly fee. It also led to the ouster of one of the town's longtime local haulers, something Alderman Jeremy Jones was concerned could also happen in Monticello. He asked if the city could accept a proposal from a local company, even if it was not the low bid. Summers said the city would be mandated to accept the lowest responsible bid if it goes the RFP/bid route. It's the most logical thing to do. I think it would save the most money for most people. I say most, but not everybody, but most people it would, said Alderman Tom Reed, speaking in favor of a single hauler. Prior to the 2015 rewrite, Monticello customers paid for garbage per bag with a sticker system. It was popular for those who generated fewer bags, but was expensive for families and others who produce a large amount of trash. The stickers are still an option from one company for $3.50 per bag, but another company raised the price to $16 each, and a third eliminated stickers altogether. Changes aldermen have discussed include offering a smaller, lower-priced tote and possibly going back to recycling pickup each week. Recycling changed to every other week as part of the license changes 3 years ago. Summers said he would work with the city attorney to draft a request for proposal for the council to review. And now, turning to page A5, under obituaries, we have the following death notices of local and area interest. Constance Connie Ellen Brown, 67, of Monticello, Illinois, passed peacefully Tuesday, March 6, 2018, at 7:06 p.m. at Kirby Medical Center in Monticello. A private celebration of Connie's life will be held at a later date. Thomas L. Wiggins, 69, of Monticello, passed away at 6:45 p.m. March 8, 2018, at Carl Hospital in Urbana. Visitation was held from 3 to 6 p.m. Sunday, March 11, 2018, at the Mackey Wright Funeral Home in Monticello. Funeral services were at 11 a.m. Monday, March 12, 2018, at the Mackey Wright Funeral Home with Reverend Steve Ingram officiating. Interment was in Kroniger Cemetery in Cisco. Memorial donations may be made to the Clay Wiggins Special Education Memorial Fund. Condolences may be sent to the family at www.mackeywrightfuneralhome.com. Harold A. Myerscough, 76, of Seymour, passed away at 7:07 a.m. March 3, 2018, at Blessing Hospital in Quincy. Visitation was held Thursday, March 8, 2018, at the Mackey Wright Funeral Home in Monticello. Private family funeral services will be held. Memorial donations may be made to the Seymour Fire Department. And now, returning to the news and views on page A3, under the banner of Piatt County, we have this article headlined, Monticello Employee Earns State Award. On Tuesday, February 20th, the Illinois Rural Water Association, the state's largest rural utility association, selected John Evans as its Wastewater System Operations Specialist of the Year at the 36th Annual Technical Conference in Effingham. Evans is a wastewater treatment plant operator for the city of Monticello. The Illinois Rural Water Association's Wastewater Systems Operations Specialist of the Year Award is given to an individual dedicated to the wastewater industry. This person must be a selfless individual who gives back to the industry by furthering the goals and objectives of the operations and maintenance of the wastewater treatment and/or collection system. This accurately describes Mr. Evans, said Frank Dunmeyer, Executive Director of the Illinois Rural Water Association. John has shown himself to be truly committed to furthering the professionalism of the wastewater treatment industry by helping to ensure a safe and clean effluent for the environment and the customers of the city of Monticello. Dunmeyer continued, John goes above and beyond to make sure Monticello has a clean wastewater effluent, as well as protecting the future streams for today and the future. As well as protecting the receiving streams for today and the future. The Illinois Rural Water Association is a private, not-for-profit association of small water and wastewater systems and is dedicated to training and technical assistance to those individuals who work in the water and wastewater industry. For more information, visit IRWA's website at www.ILRWA.org. Our next article is on page A8, and the headline reads, Motivating Local Students. Joshua Medcalf, a motivational speaker and author of the best-selling book, Chop Wood, Carry Water, Fall in Love with the Process of Becoming Great, spoke to Monticello High School students March 9th as part of the Winter Sports Recognition Assembly. He's also the founder and CEO of Train to Be Clutch and speaks on workforce trends and generational dynamics. Medcalf grew up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, attended Vanderbilt University on a soccer scholarship, and earned his bachelor's degree in communications. He then worked on his master's degree at Duke University, where he also finished out his sports eligibility and played a season of NCAA soccer. Medcalf spoke for free at Monticello, one of several of late on a recent tour, when he waived his speaking fee. Among the advice he had for local students, there's nothing that you can do to increase your intrinsic value. Your value comes from who you are, not what you do. We've got to learn to become our own best friend and our own best coach. Wisdom is at your fingertips, he said, noting there are positive aspects of television and YouTube if used properly. Are you seeking wisdom or entertainment? Focus on the stuff that is inside of our control, and the truth is that most things in life are outside of our control, uncontrollable. 6 things we feed our heart with: what we watch, what we read, how we talk to ourselves, who we listen to, what circles we are in, and what we visualize. And finally for today, we have from page A3 several items of local interest under the briefs column. The first one is entitled Bloom with 4-H set for April 28th. Bloom with 4-H will be held from 1 to 3 p.m. Saturday, April 28th at Wren's Gate and Garden Studio located at 4342 Bentonville Road in Decatur. Participants can register online at go.illinois.edu/DMP or call the Macon County Extension Office at 217-877-6042 by April 23rd. This program is for ages 8 to 18, and for 4-H members, it is a suitable project for the 4-H show. For more information, contact Becky Hugo at rhugo@illinois.edu. or 217-877-6042. And the next one is entitled Gordon at B-Mint Opry this Friday. That would be tonight. Eric Gordon will be the special guest at the B-Mint Country Opry at 7 p.m. Friday, March 16th in the Monticello Community Center Ballroom, 201 South State Street in Monticello. An international recording artist, Gordon sings both classic and contemporary country and has incredible energy in his shows. Eric has a smooth voice and is a great entertainer. Monticello Masonic Lodge will be selling a meal of breakfast, a correction of biscuit and gravy, eggs, sausage at 5 p.m. the night of the show. Guests at future Opry shows will include April 6th, Terry Smith, April 20th, Marvin Lee, May 4th, Ron DeVore, and May 18th, Gary Osterhoff. And finally, this article is entitled The Mighty Oak is March 19th. The East Central Illinois Master Naturalists will present the free program, The Mighty Oak, at 6:30 p.m. Monday, March 19th at the University of Illinois Extension Office, 801 North Country Fair Drive in Champaign. Oak trees are among the most important species in Illinois forests and woodlands, since the oak/hickory forest is the most species-diverse ecosystem in our state. During the Mighty Oak, Ryan Pankow, University of Illinois Extension horticulture educator, will discuss the ecology and management of oak and hickory forests in central Illinois. Pre-registration is required. The event is open and free to the public. Register at 217-333-7672. This has been the Piatt County Journal Republican, dated Wednesday, March 14th, 2018. I look forward to reading with you again soon. For Illinois Radio Reader, I'm Ed Walsh.